That was worth waiting another week for, wasn't it?
Good job. Thank you, brother.
The sermon is entitled The Beginning of the End or The End of the Beginning. They mean the same thing to me. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 1, and read the following. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Down the middle was a great sea of the city. Down the middle was a great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. No longer would there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. Lord God, we have been through the study of your warning and admonition and promises as we finish this book. And I do pray, Lord, that we've learned and grown from it, because we know that you are in charge. And at the end, you win. Bless us this upcoming week. We have friends that are in need of physical, financial, spiritual, emotional help. Give them their needs. Be with those who take care of us. Those who serve us in the military, overseas as missionaries, those here in the States that make our life safe and enjoyable. Protect us, Father, as we try to stand up and represent you in Christ through the teachings that Jesus gave us and the apostles through the Holy Spirit. And let us not ever fail from weariness. Give us the right judgment. We pray in Jesus' name to be with the speaker. And amen. Friday night, went to somewhere near Tampa, I don't know where, Brandon or somewhere, for my grandson's last football game. And I see out of the corner of my eye my daughter, who's as emotional as I am, or maybe even more, tears. Because this is the last time he will suit up. He's not college material. He's not even high school material, but he gave it all he had. And it was fun those 5 years watching him play. But it was over. You know, the last is a tough thing. Remember the last day of school each year, or the last day that you finish school, graduation, those type of things? Remember the last time that you saw somebody, a friend of yours, before you moved away or before they moved away? Remember each year your ball team, the last game that they play, and they graduate or go to the pros or whatever the kids do anymore? And I think this really hit me the hardest, believe it or not, this spring when they had the last episode of Downton Abbey. I wept. They had been on my TV screen on Sunday nights for 6 years. I felt like I had been with their family. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They were our family and friends. You remember when Ron Howard retired and there was no longer any Andy Griffith show. Dick Van Dyke quit and all these things that we like. But now sometimes last are good. As in your last mortgage payment, or the last car payment you have, or the last of some difficult task, or the last day of work before your retirement. Some lasts are really good. This book that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit as his teaching to John the Revelator shows us that God is in charge, that life is not just willy-nilly, although it seems that way, because there is a plan. And our last day here on earth, be it either by death or by his awakening, his returning and coming back to get us out of the sky, the rapture, if you would like to use that word, I like to use that word, will be something great. And the hardships and the hard times and all the failings we've had here on earth will have been forgotten, because that will be the last day on this earth. But as in 21 tells us, John saw the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. For the old world and the old Jerusalem has been replaced. That will be the first of the new days. It will be forever. The word forever means never ending in eternity. What a great thought that is. That God's plan for us never ends. Now, John has given us some comfort. He simply says this. There was this city, the new Jerusalem. Out of the middle of the city, down in the middle of the street, was the water of life. I kind of like water. I like to drink water. ice, if it's got ice cubes in it. There ain't much on this bottle of water that y'all drink straight out of it. Spigot. But it's good. It keeps life going. And growing from that water of life is a tree on both sides of that river, the water of life. And it is the tree that provides the fruit of life. A new crop each of the months, each of the 12 months. And that sustains us all that we need. And it was planned out by God. 12 crops we have. There'll be no curse any longer. We said, what kind of curse is going on? Well, the book tells us earlier that the nation is cursed. The world is cursed. Why? Because of the sin of Adam and Eve refusing to obey God's word. And those sins that have been held against mankind for all this time, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, from the Apostle Paul, it will be no more. Those sins have been forgotten. They've been washed away. They are gone. And that's good news. The tree, it says, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of nations. If you don't think there are conflicts in this world, you've been watching Comedy Central TV too long. There are rumors of wars and wars, just like Jesus told us would be. You almost have to have a program to find out who's mad at who on what part of the world. In each nation, quite frequently. The Sunnis against the Shiites. And on, Republicans against the Democrats, even over here. Hopefully Tuesday we'll get regular news back on, or Wednesday anyway. No longer there'll be a curse. Those pains of sin are taken away. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve Him. His servants. Who's His servants? Everyone who's given their life to Him. We will get a chance to serve God. How beautiful that is. Our life will not be just wandering around with nothing to do. We'll have plenty of activities, from praising God to being service to learning and growing ourselves. There, verse 4. Then they will see His face. And His name will be on their foreheads. We talked many weeks ago about the mark of the beast, where those submitting to Satan will take on his identity and will worship the beast. And those with the mark of the beast shall not be entering in the kingdom of God, because they could not refuse the beast. Their body, their friends, their family, their own health was more important than what is true to do. But those who have been obedient to the Lamb of God will be marked by Jesus. I don't know. Will we have a cross on our forehead? I don't know. It don't matter. I just want to be there when it happens. And because of that, we have hope. We belong to Him. Just as in the olden days when they were taking brand cattle to show which farm they belonged to. I just didn't have the mark in the branding, but that's beside the point. They will see His face. His name will be on their foreheads. We identify. There will be no more night. There's no need for light of a lamp or the light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God will give them light. They will reign forever and ever. There's commercials on television now for these new batteries, new flashlights that you can freeze them in the freezer, and you can put them in the water, and you can drive a tank over top of them and all that kind of stuff. I don't know about you, but night is not all that pleasant. You bump your toes on the bed when you get up to go to the bathroom and stuff like that. We don't have to worry about darkness. Darkness was created of the devil. He wants to hold us in darkness and not let us understand the good things that God has given to us and the possibilities and opportunities we will have. Well, there will be no more darkness, because we'll be with God, and all the light we need will come from Him and Jesus and from the throne. That's a positive for us. And I like this last part of 5. And they shall reign forever and ever. Remember the Hallelujah chorus? How many times that word forever and ever and ever is mentioned? Because it tells us what we've got coming for us. And that is no worry about the end. You get near a book. You've been involved in a book or a series of books. When you get the last one and say, oh no. Or when your television show just stops. I'm hung on that today, I guess. And there's no next week because they just quit in the middle. And what happened to this person or that person? That's just unfair. Well, we're going to be going forever and ever. And you know what? We don't know Jesus that time. So we won't worry about an end abruptly. It'll last without ceasing. In red letters in my book, it means Jesus said it. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Be prepared. Always be prepared. Now, there's a lot of people back in August of 19... My goodness. 2004. Oh, that hurricane's going somewhere else. We haven't had a hurricane since Donna came through in 1960. This place is hurricane proof. I'm not going to fill my tank with gas. And I'm not going to buy any water, bottles of water. And I'm sure I'm going to go get spam. I'll let God take care of it. And we were upset because we didn't have what we needed because we weren't ready. And when Jesus decides to come and get, to collect the harvest of souls, when the sea gives up the dead and the grave gives up the dead and those who are still alive at the time shall rise up to meet him in the sky just as he promised the apostles in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we who are his will be ready. And we're not going to have to worry about what is left behind because we're not left behind. And we're going to be worried about our relationship with God. That's why we need to be active now in telling people about God so more people, even the people we don't know, but especially people we know and love, will obey Jesus. We'll give their life to him and will be ready to join us in that heavenly place, the New Jerusalem. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at his feet. The angel said to me, "Get up, I'm just a fellow servant." Can you imagine? We will have fellowship with the angels. We will be servants and serve him and serve God the same. There is no hierarchy like that. Matter of fact, some of us say that we actually will be above the angels. "I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and the prophets and all who have kept the words of the book. Worship God." Worship God. We've chosen and been distracted by a lot of things to worship. Cars, houses, adventures. But the only thing we should truly be worshiping is God. Now, I don't have any fine print in my Bible right there, or in the Greek Bible, either one, it says, "of your choice." Nowhere can I read it says, "worship the God of your choice." That word is Jehovah. That word is the Lord God, the creator of the world. And that's how we need to worship. "You're not sealing these books of prophecy," the angel told him, "because the time is near." I don't know, it's been 2,000 years. But you know, God created the world so many timeless years ago that he's not in any hurry, and when he gets in a hurry, it'll happen. We can't sit and wait for it. We got to be ready the entire time. "Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to be right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon," Jesus said. "My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done." God notices our deeds. You not remember when Jesus said, if you give a cup of water to someone, if you give an outfit to someone, if you feed someone, if you visit someone in prison, you're doing the same for me? Those are our deeds. We're not saved by our deeds, but because our deeds, because we are saved, we are to perform these deeds in helping others like we've been helped ourselves. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. He must have meant it. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. For outside there are dogs who practice magical arts, sexual immorality, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. There will be a separation." Oh, we have a loving God. We've heard people say, "It doesn't matter what I do, he's going to take me to heaven anyway." I can't find that in my book either. There are restrictions. There are admonitions for us. And when it is over, it's not time to say, "I didn't know that." It's too late then. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel." You remember the word angel also means messenger. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel, my messenger to you, to give you testimony to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." The root is the base. It's in the ground. It supports the tree. The offspring, the offshoots, is what the product. So Jesus was before David and after David as well. He's the bright, the morning star. You like to get up, or if you really have to, if you really want to, not have to, get up and see the sunrise some morning. As the moon is still maybe behind you and the sunrise is coming up out of the east and the stars are twinkling, you say, "What a beautiful God. What a beautiful job you did for us. What a loving God we have." The Spirit and the bride say, come. Remember, the bride is the church. We talked about it last week. The bride beautifully adorned for her husband. Come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. You can't earn it, but you got to agree to it. You got to participate in it. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. This is scary to me. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. If you make restrictions, or you put other things in here, and teach and preach other things in here, and believe other things in here that are not in here, but somebody told you they were, or you wanted to be, you will be cursed with those plagues. As mankind, we've often made too many restrictions that God didn't make. Don't do that yet. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share of the tree of life. And in the holy city, which are described in this book. You say, why is it too hard to be a Christian? Couldn't God just take a secret handshake and give them $5 a month and be a membership card like Sam's Club or Costco or something? No, that's not the way it's set up. He gave us the words we needed to be the words we need. He didn't give us anything extra because we don't need it. And far too often we try to make restrictions or we try to, for our own desire, reduce restrictions. Infant baptism and pouring of the cup on the head or faith only started when King Constantine, who though he believed was afraid he would sin after his baptism and lose his salvation, waited until his deathbed. And nobody's going to take the king on his deathbed baptizing the water, so they just began, the priest began to pour water on her head. See, that's adding to the book. Those are what we're not supposed to do. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. That's Jesus. Yes, I'm coming soon. And all relatively, yes, I'm coming soon. And John says this, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You've seen the word Maranatha? That's what that means. Come, or come quickly, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. And amen. And from this pulpit, you have heard the entire book of Revelation spoken word by word. We didn't leave anything off, and we didn't add any scripture requirements that God didn't add. I'll boil it down this way. This is what Jesus wants. We know what he's commanded. It's our choice to follow him or ignore him and abandon him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth him shall not perish for everlasting life. He asked Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost, what must we do? And Peter simply said these words, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And amen. I'm 65 years old and I can't add anything to that. And I sure not plan on taking anything away from that. So we'll let that be the settlement. Our hymn of decision invitation is number, I wrote it down, can't remember where I wrote it, 493. Softly and tenderly. Sing with me as we sing this hymn, 493.